This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers episode. Now, Tom, this is where I'm not sure what to do. 101 or 101? What do you prefer?
I don't know.
It's hard.
We should have talked about this before getting on air, but I think this is a good way to start it.
Yeah, because 101 sounds like we're about to lecture.
Yeah, it's a class.
First time uni students, yeah.
I think it's got to be 101. 101.
101, okay. This is take two. Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Hundo.
Why is this take two? Keep this all in. This was a good discussion. Otherwise, people are going to be like, why are they leading with Hundo 1?
Yeah, why are they saying Hundo 1? That's a good point. All right, Hundo 1, all kept in. Let us know which way you would prefer us to say the numbers now.
We can personalise it for you.
TheWatchersPodcast@gmail.com. And we'll give a shout out to whoever suggests.
Maybe we can change it each week. And like do it in binary or something.
It's in Morse code. Not a bad idea.
What is it? Long, short, short, long or something? I don't know.
I'll nod. Sure.
Cool. Maybe 1 week we'll do it with flags.
It's just silence. Or just wind.
You'll hear.
Yeah. And now we sound like Monkey Magic trying to get his cloud from the sky. Why was it pink, by the way?
I don't know, but it's funny because our voices don't line up with our mouths either.
Yeah, that's true. You'll never know, though, because this is audio. Big episode again this week. Only the two of us, but there's a lot of content. We've got a couple of weeks' worth of The Walking Dead and also A Good Place.
Yes.
We've got some things that we've been watching for the past couple of weeks. We might have to do almost a rapid fire.
I want to do that. Okay. I've got way too many things in the canister. Let's get them out there.
All right. And some news, nyols as well. We will kick the news off with Tom.
Okay. So there's been a whole lot of kerfuffle.
Oh.
I know, because Martin Scorsese said some things.
Yes.
And then Francis Ford Coppola.
Of course
Coppola,
he did.
Whatever you want to call him.
Just
he
call
rolled
him.
In with things to say, and he's still relevant. So cheers.
Yeah.
And then Jennifer Aniston. Everyone's having a bit of a go at superhero cinema, specifically calling out Marvel, but the idea of blockbusters.
People who have not been involved in them.
People who probably haven't been invited. And that might be because of past behaviour or stances or, you know, I just mean, you know, the way they've behaved with things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Scorsese came out and said that it's not real cinema. You know, that's compared to what he makes, he doesn't enjoy that. Aniston was like, yeah, there's roles for films that I would have liked to have done and the film's not gone ahead because funding and budgets have gone towards that type of movie.
Okay, so she's actually got some, I mean, the reason's not great, but there is a reason.
Well, no, I don't really think so. I think that's just a very nebulous claim of she wanted to do something and the studio wasn't interested, and so she's pointing a finger.
That's a nice angle. Yep.
And then, yeah, Francis rolled in over the weekend and was like, yeah, was the word he used despicable or something like that?
Yeah, it was something where you just go, are you serious?
Yeah, and it's like you have some really strong feelings. And I wanted to add my hot take to it.
Go.
And they're well welcome to their opinion. And, you know, they've had their particular styles and things that have gone in and out of fashion. Scorsese is still doing great stuff. Aniston does great stuff from time to time. Francis Ford hasn't done anything great since the mid-90s.
But let's just remember who his nephew is. So
I know. And that's the thing of, like, is he hanging shit on Nick Cage? Because Nick Cage has done two Marvel movies, nearly did a DC movie. There's so much stuff
That's
he
a good
was
point.
Doing. So these guys are like, this is not cinema. Taika Waititi came back with a great response, which was like,
of course he would.
Well, it's kind of cinema because it's called the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's
That's
kind
not bad.
Of in the name.
Didn't somebody like, I want to say Robert Downey Jr., I think he was talking to Howard Stern, and he sort of said, well, they're played in cinemas. People go and watch them in cinemas.
Look, as I said, I've got a hot take on this situation, and that is, okay, they're not cinema. what you consider cinema, because those guys came in at a period where it was very arty and trying to elevate the medium a little higher and all this sort of stuff. Great job. What they used to do with cinema now exists on television. It's now high format, high budget, long series where
your
people
HBOs,
can get immersed.
Exactly. Yeah, yep.
So the line blended of what cinema was onto television.
Interesting.
So why shouldn't it be blurring back the other way? Because that's what this is. TV's been trying to recreate Lost since 2004, since it hit, and it never really happened. But they've kind of done that with the Marvel movies. Mm. Everyone's lining up every 4 months or whatever to see the next episode, because that's really what this is. Mm. Endgame was the season finale. They've created what used to be event television, which isn't on television anymore because you control what you watch when you watch, and that now exists in cinema. So they're not wrong in saying the movies aren't cinema from their perspective of what things are, but that's what cinema kind of has needed to become in order to survive, because everyone controls what they watch when they watch, and you know, it's a way of taking a little bit of power back.
Mm, that's I hadn't looked at it that way. I think you're spot on.
I think what unsettles them is because they used to make a film every 3 years, and it was considered an event to go and see one of their films.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of those big names have moved on to television and will instead do a series.
Another point, and I think we can sort of wrap people like Robert Downey Jr. and a lot of them in there, is that these people, these actors, these directors, these special effects artists, like, there's a big pool of those people who have won Oscars.
That's right.
That immediately legitimizes you in the world of Hollywood.
They hire great talent, and it's a very strange stance to take.
Yeah, you almost just shouldn't say anything, but they have, so.
Well, they've got to stir up some controversy so they get their attention on their projects.
That's a good point.
And now, a word from our sponsor. This week on Inside Hollywood, he's actually the father. The bad guy was in the room the whole time. The mum's a skeleton. I believe all good movies and TV show season finale should have a twist. A really good one that no one could have ever expected. My name is Barbara and I'm a plot twist consultant. I've been creating storyline detours for years. I've worked with the best Hollywood has to offer. Big name directors and script writers come to me with a storyline that makes sense. And then I change it up. Throw in a smoke grenade, a fake door leading to nowhere, an alternate universe. Make it go in a direction no one would have ever thought it would go. I shake things up. You get comments like, oh, I could see it a mile off where it was heading. It was so obvious there was going to be a twist. We always get those. I've learnt over the years there's two types of people. The ones who love to be taken on a storytelling ride, and the others who hate not knowing. Ah, it's such an adrenaline rush when I shock one of the naysayers. If they have no idea Bruce is dead, then I've done my job. Inside Hollywood. Streaming new episodes each week.
What have you got?
Okay, so this one's a bit weird. Mm. It's very weird. It's okay. Not even movie or TV related, but I will twist it back in.
Okay.
So there's a London-based additive manufacturing and machining startup called Geomig, I think it's pronounced.
Right.
Now, they're looking for someone to be the face of robots. It's not your actual face that they need. So it's not like your Nicolas Cage
Okay, so they're not taking my face off.
They're not taking your face off. They want to use your likeness on one of their robots or on their robots. Now, they're looking for a kind and friendly face. If you're thinking it's already sounding creepy, I'm going to take it up a few levels.
Okay.
Or I should say they will. Geomig are just the facilitator of this deal. Their actual client is who are looking for a face. We don't know who this person is or this company is. Clearly some sort of evil mad scientist or maybe someone wanting to make a Black Mirror episode real. So they said a few weeks ago they were approached by a robotics company asking if they could help with a few finishing touches of the state-of-the-art humanoid robot that they're working on. Now, the details of the project are pretty scarce. This is what Geomig have been saying to a non-disclosure agreement that they've signed with the designer and investors. Like a super, it's just super dodgy. So this will be a virtual friend for elderly people. so there's a good chance that the client works in the medical field. The project has been underway for 5 years and should go into production next year.
So it's they're saying it's a medical help thing, but it's really going to be a sex robot, right?
It's a sex robot.
That's what people do.
But how much does this sound like some sort of plot of a new Netflix show starring someone like Zachary Quinto?
Oh, yeah, and or like that Simpsons episode with Scorpio and evil base inside a volcano and stuff. It's not evil. It's progress.
It's pretty creepy, though, isn't it? That's a creepy story.
I would offer my face.
You would?
Yeah, why not? How cool would it be to high-five a robot of yourself?
That's true. You'd have to buy it back from them.
Oh,
or maybe in the contract you could say you get one.
No, here's my deal.
Okay.
They can have my face for the good robots, and they could definitely have my face for the robot uprising robots. Because how amazing would it be to find yourself in a post-apocalyptic situation being hunted by Terminators that all have your face.
With like a mild grin on them.
Oh, my God. And the film would be called Mirror World.
Mirror World.
Because everywhere you go, you see your poor reflection.
And it's not clones.
You'd be the one with one red eye or something.
Yeah, yeah, you'd have a freckle or something.
There's got to be some demarcation so people can go, wait, not him.
Yeah.
That's red bandana.
And then suddenly they realise that the evil corporation have started putting freckles or red eyes on all of the second generation robots.
You know what I've got to do then?
What?
Gouge my eye out.
It's the only choice you've got.
Yep. And then it can be a robotic eye that rides on my shoulder and, like, gives me advice like Iago from Aladdin.
Please make that real.
Wow, that was from nowhere.
Yeah. Copyright us then.
Yep.
Better say that quickly.
Anyway, give me that email address and I will get in contact. Right. Get ready to worship your robot overlord Toms.
One-eyed Tom.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
So I'm pretty excited about the latest casting for Matrix 4. We don't know anything about it other than it's Neil Patrick Harris.
Mm.
Cool.
So in my head, I reckon he has to be a program. He can't be a real human.
Yeah, it's this weird thing of like...
Because he looks good in suits.
I know. He looks great in suits. I would love him to be the new agent and have him stripped of all the emotion. And it, like, everyone would be expecting Barney and really charismatic guy.
Yes.
But I told you this the other day, I brought this up, in Starship Troopers, at the beginning of the film, he's just an ordinary guy with some weird psychic powers and stuff. And by the end of the film, when he comes back, he's been indoctrinated into like the Galactic SS and he's stripped of all emotions and plays a really badass, like kind of Nazi-ish dude.
And that's who you're...
That's who I'm seeing in this. If you could have him playing this really totalitarian authority figure.
What if you get him doing that and then suddenly that character or that program starts singing some sort of stage song? That would be so creepy.
Could he be glitching?
Ooh.
If he glitches, could charisma come through, like his original personality rather than who he's been programmed as?
Yes.
And part of that could be singing and dancing. Or is he, instead of the architect or the oracle, I want him to be the magician or the wizard behind the curtain or whatever and get to do some sleight of hand and get to do some magic stuff.
There's so many possibilities.
There really is. Like,
and it's just from one actor being mentioned.
Maybe he is like the sound or something like that and he is the one that generates music and hope. I don't know. Ooh, possibilities. Will he have a top hat? At some point.
At some point, I hope. Yeah, when he speaks to the architect.
If he's in a suit, is he going to be tie or bow tie?
Oh, I was imagining tie.
I think you're right. I think it's going to be tie. The other ones, and
Hugo.
Was always ties in How I Met Your Mother. But I have seen him rock a bow tie and he's
very, very dapper.
Well. Lemony Snicket, he's been having fun with a lot of prosthetics in there as well. So maybe we it's not going to be what we expect at all.
So many avenues.
Maybe he'll be a robot.
Maybe he will be.
Like in the real world with them.
Ooh, the robots have built human.
Yeah.
Robots.
Because
it's
they
not
were
out of the realm of possibility.
No, they were getting around in those EV suits or whatever they were and stuff. Maybe there's been a bit of a melding back the other way.
Oh, that's creepy. Instead of humans amongst robots. Okay, so many possibilities.
Yeah.
Look, David Duchovny has been cast in the Craft remake. I'm not sure.
Okay, hang on. Let me just unpack that really 90s thing you just said. So David Duchovny from X-Files.
Yep.
And famous former hand model. That's what I always remember him as. So, and The Craft, that's the one with Neve Campbell, right?
Yeah.
And the witchy.
And Robin, whatever her name is.
Starts with a C. I can see it in my head, I think.
You know who she is. Yeah. She shaved her head in Empire Records.
Shock me, shock me, shock me with that devious behaviour.
I have no idea at the moment who will be playing, but I'm going to go ahead and assume that he's not one of the four teenage girls.
Probably not. Do you think he can be a principal, or do you think he's going to be some town skeptic?
Ooh, I like that.
I mean, they've got to play against Mulder. Mulder would be the believer in this instantly.
Yeah, so he'll be Scully.
Yeah, that's what I think. They're not going to typecast him that way.
What if he's like the bad guy? I can't even remember how the movie goes. It's been a long time. Is there a bad guy, or is it just them losing control of themselves?
I know about this film through osmosis.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've watched it.
Still hung up on who shot Mr. Burns? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So 27 minutes of The Mandalorian screened for some press the other day, which is the Disney Plus show that's coming.
Have they been able to say anything? Like your impressions are allowed?
All I've seen are really good things.
Cool.
Of that this feels like the original trilogy, but as a Western.
Okay.
And then it feels like the best parts of The Magnificent Seven, all those Western movies mixed with proper Kurosawa, which is what Star Wars was originally based on anyway. And apparently Jon Favreau has crushed it and may have, without telling press in the lead up or anything like this, may have used the same guys that did a lot of the digital animals for Lion King and Jungle Book to do a lot of creatures for this.
So they're not going to be like the 1999 prequel computer-generated creatures.
Apparently things look amazing. So the scenes that were shown, a lot of them were out of context, so to not give away spoilers and things like that. So even the people watching didn't have enough context, but raved about it. Then Watchmen at a time of recording, we haven't seen it yet, but it's just hit in the States and everyone's raving about that. And likewise, HBO have got His Dark Materials coming. And as we're recording now, first reviews are coming through of that, of epic.
Awesome.
So this is a good time. Get excited.
Also, side note of Mandalorian, they're already talking about the fact that they're making the second season.
Yeah.
Or at least they're in some sort of pre-production.
That it's coming. It's that's awesome.
So exciting. Speaking of exciting, let's talk about Kristen Davis from Sex and the City.
Okay. She was my go-to of them.
So Charlotte.
Charlotte. I will be quite honest. Charlotte.
She was your favourite?
Well, no.
She was your pick.
She was my pick.
There you go.
There's a difference.
Your pick. I understood. Yeah. So she's going to be in something with Greer Grammer. Now, that name is unusual.
It is.
It's Kelsey Grammer's daughter. Huh. And Dermot Mulroney, who was the best friend in my best friend's wedding.
Funky Lip. I don't know if he had a cleft palate when he was young or whatever, but I've always remembered that.
So the three of those people, actors, will star in something called Grace. Now, it's an indie thriller written by Anna Elizabeth James. Now, Kristen and Dermot are producing it as well. Filming it in New Mexico next month. It's about a best-selling female novelist who has a terrible case of writer's block. So she hires Kelsey Grammer's daughter.
Right.
To just babysit her kids while she's writing. She really gets into it, like big time writing. And then like the lines between what's real and what she's writing get all blurred, and apparently it gets all messy.
Oh no. Stay within the margins.
Yeah. So we'll find out more, I'd say, in a year's time. I don't think that's going to be something that will be shown immediately.
Well, this sounds like Continuing Adventures of Carrie Bradshaw, doesn't it?
Meets what's the movie with you dirty, dirty birdie? Kathy Bates finds him and she's his biggest fan.
Is it a Stephen King story maybe?
I think it is. Misery.
Misery.
It sounds like it's mixed in with Misery as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Or like single white female stuff as well. Yeah, Fatal Attraction. Yeah. It's got a lot of mixed classic storylines in there. Ooh. Well, I mean, we're assuming.
We are making a lot of assumptions about the quality of the people.
Yes.
You know.
The people. What else have you got news-wise?
So apparently Jared Leto was not happy about the whole Joker situation.
Oh, man, every day there seems to be a new vague quote.
Uh-huh. And I'm not particularly interested, but I thought it was quite, I don't know, I read lots of very behind-the-scenes stuff of the lengths he went to.
So there is some, you reckon there is some legs behind these rumours?
Oh, like he called the boss at Warner Music, which looks after his band, to be like, you need to ring them. Same company, obviously, Warner. Yep, you need to ring them and tell them not to do this.
And he said, I'm busy.
I think he said, oh, yeah, I'll get right on that. And didn't do it.
Yeah.
And at the time, Jared Leto went through like four different teams of management at the company he was at and then left and went to another one.
Oh, and okay.
So there's a whole bunch of stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
Part of it was no one thought Todd Phillips' Joker movie would actually go ahead.
Oh, okay.
And then when it did,
it went ahead.
No one wants Jared Leto back other than Jared Leto. So
it's funny because of how Suicide Squad went down. Within, you know, the world of moviegoers, you'd think he would be like most of the cast, except for maybe Margot Robbie, who is clearly that character went well. You would have thought he would have just come to the conclusion and the understanding that that's now closed.
Yeah, and
that's finished.
The other thing he needs to be aware of is most people get one shot at the Joker.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson, one turn.
Yeah, that's
true. Heath Ledger, one turn.
Yep.
Joaquin doesn't look like he gets a second go on this. You know what I mean? Like, you get your one shot, you did a rubbish job with it. Apparently the director thought you were rubbish and that's why you were cut out of most of the film. So anyway, it's been very juicy to see all these stories coming up of something that I couldn't care much less about. I don't feel for him.
But he's all over the place.
He's got plenty to fall back on.
Yeah.
He's working on Morbius for Sony at the moment, which is one of the Spider-Man universe things. He's the living vampire. He's a
of course he is.
Biochemist or a biologist or something that gets infected with vampiric sort of thing. So it, like sunlight kind of messes with him, but he can drink blood from blood
some
bags
sort of
and
swanky glass. Where
So and sometimes he's good, sometimes he's bad. If he doesn't get his blood, he might eat some people and stuff. But he doesn't turn people.
Mm, okay. It's a little bit different.
It's a thing.
Your standard.
It's like an HIV AIDS allegory.
All right. Speaking of vampires, we'll be talking a little bit more about them later on in the program. Any more news?
You promise?
I promise.
Okay. Just a short one. Cowboy Bebop, which has been in production for a little while and adaptation of a great anime. It's going to be awesome. John Cho has been injured quite badly. We don't know exactly what. But like, they have had to halt production for 7 to 9 months.
Jeez.
I think it might have been like a full-on messed up knee or leg or something like that. But, not a serious accident type thing. Nothing went particularly wrong. It's just his body went wrong in this situation. And, they've got to pause that long for
It's a long time.
It is. And because I'm pretty sure it's a series, but they were that far into it that they can't kind of go back and start with a different actor. It would cost way too much to do that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Imagine having to make that call. Do we send all these people home and say that we'll be back in 7 to 9 months? Can you wait till then?
That's hard.
Yep.
That's a logistic nightmare.
Yep.
For everybody involved. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then the other one, which is just a very brief thing, is that CW have confirmed that Arrow is ending soon.
Mm-hmm.
There is going to be a next Arrow show, which is Green Arrow and the Canaries, and that is following his daughter and the various women that have the Black Canary.
That sounds great.
It sounds like it could be pretty good fun, and I don't know if that's going to be set in the present and because at the moment the daughter is in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that means she and they come back or if we're going to have a storyline that continues in 2040.
Yeah.
Which could be pretty cool.
Yeah.
It makes it stand out from the other shows.
Absolutely. Yeah. Which is important.
I will just add with that, with the Green Arrow and the Canaries, between that, Supergirl and Batwoman, that's a lot of female-fronted superheroes.
Girl power.
Yeah. They've found what's really working for them going, and I think that's awesome. And I don't mind because they always have – the funny, plucky guy sidekick computer whiz or whatever it is, there's still
Something for everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's good.
That's what it's all about.
Yes.
Awesome. Should we get into some watching?
Let's do it.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Because we had the 100th episode last week, which was a lot of fun, thank you to Lynn's, Tidy and Nabil for coming in and eating all of the Skittles with us.
Oh, we ate so many.
Nobody ate lunch afterwards. No. It was just too much. Mm. So we've had a backlog of stuff that we watched.
Yep.
First off, I just want to kick into the fact that Below Deck Mediterranean with Captain Sandy and Hannah has come to an end for that season. I'm sure they'll be back. Lots of controversy and lots of fun. That show is trashy in all the best ways.
Yeah.
And now we're into Below Deck with Captain Lee and we're in Thailand. So they're getting to go through all the Thailand sites.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly it's the people who work on the luxury yacht that we want to see so that they can throw tantrums, hook up with each other, drop things, have guests that drink too much and are unconscious on the deck. It's just a whole heap of that kind of thing and I love it. A couple of episodes in now.
Sounds so debaucherous.
It really is. And it's a perfect thing to watch when you've got some takeaway food and you've stacked up a couple of episodes. You're like, right, we're watching two in a row, guys.
Do you turn the judgment up to 12?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of pausing because, you know, people, you want to comment about somebody, but then something happens whilst you're commenting. Mm. So it gets paused. You get to comment and then we're back into it. It's very strict.
Okay.
Very strict. A lot of fun.
Nice. No talking over the program.
Oh, no. Mm-mm-mm. It's banned. What have you been watching?
All right. I'm going to do the same. Rapid fire. Same as you. Crikey, it's the Irwins. It's back for season two.
Yay.
Hey,
always good feeling.
Yeah. Guess what they're up to? They're looking after animals.
Nice.
Same as before. They're redoing one of their big crocodile areas, the very first episode back, and it involves Robert going in to help capture the biggest, angriest croc they have.
Who he's probably grown up with.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot older than him.
Oh, true, yeah.
But a really pissed off, angry croc. It was a very interesting
doesn't
watch.
Doesn't like change.
No. So it was cool to see them back. I imagine this series we are going to see more of Bindi's current fiancé.
Yep.
He popped up throughout the first series, but they clearly weren't positioning him yet, where I think this season it's going to be a bit more including him into the family.
I feel like the marriage is happening soon.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hang around
and wait. Yeah.
And then there's a new show that's on AMC. So they've been advertising it alongside Walking Dead, called Hip Hop, The Songs That Shook America.
And this is right up your alley.
Very much so. Each episode is a, you know, 1 hour breakdown of a very key moment from hip hop and one song. First episode is about Jesus Walks from Kanye West, which was 2004. And it was
sounds about right.
A really, really interesting watch because it puts it in context of, you know, hip hop normally bases itself around Biggie and Pac and that mid-90s one, whereas this was about how coming off of the hedonistic style of your Nelly and a bit of Jay-Z, but like that real late 90s, early 2000s.
Cisco or whatever that guy with the silver hair was.
Yes, yeah. Where everything was about the club.
Yeah.
To have Kanye come in with a song with gospel samples talking about Jesus and challenging radio not to play that song. It really talks about how it crystallized and it was a catalyst that set, you know, you wouldn't have Drake or a lot of these guys now that talk about their emotions and talk about spirituality and kind of a lot more metaphysical thoughts.
Right? Yeah, a bit deeper than, you know.
Rather than tits and hoes and
pop a Lil Jon, bottle of champagne, yeah.
The yin-yang twins and the whisper song and all this sort of stuff. It was a really, really cleverly done thought piece on how he kind of single-handedly made the industry mature.
He was very different to what there was at that time. I remember when he sort of came onto the scene and everybody was talking about him, he felt very different.
Yeah. He was bringing, you know, backpack rap, but he was it talks a lot about the stigma that surrounded him because he was originally a producer. And so there's a lot of pushback from record labels of producer rappers because they just want you to make the beats. And so he would find himself recording albums for Jay-Z or with Pharrell or helped give John Legend his start, all this sort of stuff. And these guys that are now huge, and would just forcefully start rapping for them. Like, they'd be sitting there and they'd be working on their rhymes. Yeah. And Kanye, like, there's all this footage of him of jumping in fearlessly to rap against Jay-Z when he was the biggest rapper in the world and this sort of stuff.
And like, at the time, you'd be like, I can't believe that guy's doing it. And now you're like, that's such a Kanye West move.
That's the thing. You walk away going, oh, my God, he's no different now.
He's never changed.
This is just who he is. And it's amazing. He has willed all of this into existence. Mm. And that's basically what this program shows of, like, this guy makes it happen because he chooses it's going to happen. It was really, really interesting.
What was it called again?
It's called the Hip Hop, The Songs That Shook America. Okay. This week is going to be, I think it's All Right by Kendrick Lamar, which I think that's going to be a far more politically charged episode. Because that's kind of what Kendrick's
done. But still,
done
you know, it's all about less, more, I should say, than everybody in the club getting tipped.
That's right. I think this is kind of going to be the...
substance.
Yeah, this is going to be directly addressing Black Lives Matter. Pretty recent, hard-hitting stuff.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, very cool.
They're the real killers who turn the lights off on Tony Soprano. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Speaking of interesting coolness and vampires, I have finished the season of What We Do in the Shadows, and holy moly, 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 that is a fabulous show.
How good is The Vampire Council?
It is so good.
I'm so glad you caught up on this. I love that show.
Every part of that show I absolutely loved.
Do you just love Gimera? Do you want to protect him? And, like, he's my good boy.
He is a good boy. And I am like 99% sure, except for the fact that I've got no proof that he was in Australia. But about 3 weeks ago, I swear I saw him on the street.
Quite possibly. Why not?
I swear I saw him. Like, not far from here. I was like, I did a double take, but it was just such an odd place to see him.
I just, they've left him in such a precarious position. I mean, is he the reincarnated? Like, do you know what? Like,
so good.
Wow.
I love everybody on that show.
Mm.
Every single one of them is
even
perfect.
The douche vampire lord, like the night call guy, Nick Kroll.
Everything's fabulous.
Danny Trejo. Like,
so funny.
That council was amazing. And
I remember you talking about it. So when I could sense that the episode it was on was coming up, I'm like, oh, here we go. But I couldn't remember everybody that you said, so I was still getting the enjoyment of witnessing.
I won't say who, but how good is the Skype?
So good. If you haven't watched it already, you must catch it. It's phenomenal.
I would say watch that and then jump in and watch Paranormal Activity. No, what's it called? No, Paranormal Invest... The New Zealand, the
oh,
cops.
With the cops. Oh, that show is brilliant. Just look up New Zealand paranormal cops comedy. You'll find it.
Yes.
It's very funny.
So there's What We Do in the Shadows, the movie, which kicks off all of this.
Yeah.
And then there's the TV show, which only really the first episode is an adaptation of.
The rest is very different.
It's different characters, that's different so storylines, plot lines, everything like this. And then there's the weird cops fake behind the scenes of investigating.
It's a mockumentary, Well, they both are.
What a cool universe.
New Zealand comedy is, it's so strong.
It's doing well.
Yeah, it's so strong. What have you been catching up on?
So I finished off Gendy I told you, I can't say this guy's name.
I don't know how to say
Gendy
that either.
Gendy Tartakovsky's Primal.
Tartakovsky.
Which is the cartoon series that was on, I think it was just last week, but it is kind of one of the first cavemen of...
I remember you saying, talking
yes,
about
existing
this.
Existing in dinosaur times.
So how was it?
Wow, it was
really?
So good. So yes, it's the same director and guy who did Samurai Jack, Dexter's Laboratory, you might remember from back in the day. He's got a very distinct style. He loves slow motion shots of characters in action or people suddenly, like a stoic face suddenly howling with rage lingers on things. And this thing has no talking. And it's 21, 22-minute episodes. There were five of them, one each night for a week. It was so good.
Would you watch again?
Hell yeah.
It's rewatchable?
I'm definitely going to watch again.
That's awesome.
The animation is gorgeous. Some of the stuff in there was really, really moving. And it's not often that you watch something that has no... It's got audio. There's effects. There's sound. Like there's audio cues throughout.
Yep.
But it just draws you in such a way that I quite often bust out the phone to check the time or whatever. I did not
you can't
break
with
attention from it. at all. That's and this, big. This, you know, the first episode kind of all deals with grief and you know, it's about immediate loss, mm-hmm. and both he and the T-Rex-ish dinosaur go through a horrible situation, mm. and then kind of the rest of the series is about half of it is PTSD and dealing with survivors and guilt, this sort of stuff.
Which we'll touch on a bit later in a different program.
Yes. So lots of survivor's guilt. Again, this is a cartoon with no words, but you get that. And then there's part of it of like that whole boy and his dog of, mm-hmm. of this, you know, spurned animal desperate for some connection following him and him pushing it away and then learning to accept. And this, it's, I don't know. You infer so much.
It's amazing.
From having no audio. It's all up to you to sit there and take it in. And some people, I imagine, will sit there and say, oh, this is a fun thing of a caveman knocking around with a dinosaur. Yeah. And I sat there floored of like, wow, this is...
I mean, you understood what they were trying to get at.
At one point, the caveman climbs a cliff and stands there and you can read existential fear on his face and he goes to commit suicide. And like opts not to, changes his mind. But again, all of this just comes from the one communication this guy has at one point is to draw a, you know, make a cave painting.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's so upset he rubs it out.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And like that's it. There's no, wow. they don't to each other or anything like this.
Interesting.
Yeah. Cannot recommend it enough.
Sounds
mind-blowingly
intriguing.
Good.
Intriguing. Mm.
Making more sense than when Joey and Rachel hooked up. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, I caught up with that Netflix program with Paul Rudd in it.
Oh, boy.
And Paul Rudd in it, called Living With Yourself.
Yes.
Where there's two Paul Rudds. I don't want to give away too much about it because the first episode is sort of uncovering and unpacking.
It's twisty.
What it is. Yeah,
sure.
It is. It absolutely is. But I think we can ascertain through previews and whatnot that there are two of him.
Yep.
And you can tell there are two of him because one hunches over and his fringe is down and the other one sits up nice and straight with his hair up.
Acting.
It's not bad. I'm only a couple of episodes in, but I'm intrigued to see where this goes. And apparently I've read a couple of reviews and it comes to a nice end. But at the same time, it looks like there could be the possibility of a second season. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's about. Like I said, I'm only a few episodes in, but interesting.
I'm going to be checking this one out, so I'm not going to delve into it too much with you today. I want to check it out. Tell me, though, in future, if the name Tane ever comes up, T-A-Y-N-E.
Not that I realise. I don't know. Maybe I haven't noticed. I am only two episodes in, though.
There's a skit from Tim and Eric, awesome show, great job. Paul Rudd popped up on that show a fair bit.
And his name Tane.
No, he's doing internet searches on a man named Tane.
Okay.
And so Tane is really associated.
I'm going to have
Paul
to keep my eye out for that now.
He works it in places where he can.
I just don't understand how this guy doesn't age.
It's creepy.
I mean, Jared Leto is not aging as well. But Jared Leto is not
he's
aging.
He's clearly
and
putting on a
creepy.
Lot of makeup to do that.
Where Paul Rudd is just, I mean, you can tell he's not the same age he was when he was doing Clueless, but.
But with 15 minutes in a makeup chair, he could be, I reckon.
Yeah, for sure.
Put him in the right clothes.
Bit of flannel.
Backwards hat.
Yeah.
Carrying a skateboard. How does it do, fellow kids?
It's not a bad show. I'm going to continue watching it.
Nice.
Yeah. So if you get the chance this week to watch it, we'll have we'll have discussion part B.
Done.
Next week.
Done. All right. I'm going to super rapid fire a few.
Go.
I watched Treadstone, which we talked about, I think, only last week or the week before. That's the series set in the Bourne universe.
Yep.
Critics aren't loving it. I quite enjoyed the pilot. I haven't seen episodes further. They had seen some more.
So why do you think – oh, okay. So it could potentially be after the pilot.
It could be that. I think it might be. They have cast an awful lot of great stunt people in roles.
Right.
Rather than – proper actors and so proper actors isn't the right thing, but you know what I mean, like people that are more focused on the physicality because so much of this is very, very physical. And the first episode starts slow and there's lots of exposition and things, but then once these, they're called cicadas or like sleeping agents, once they start getting woken up, the action really kicks in.
Okay.
There's one storyline that's entirely in North Korea. about
a
young music teacher who gets woken up and doesn't realize she's programmed. There's some stuff happening in Russia. Uh-huh. You've got one guy that's in Alaska at the moment, but like seems very mid-south, who gets attacked in a bar and destroys everyone. Doesn't know how. Yep. And there's moments that give me a lot of hope that we're going to see, like the Bourne movies, people getting, you know, savaged with a rolled up newspaper, or like there's just some really creative action. So I'm going to stick with that. Okay. I'll keep you updated.
Yeah, nice.
I watched the first episode of Stumptown, which I have. There's a couple of episodes out now. It's based on a comic book that I haven't read. I know.
How is that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. It just didn't pop up. But it's it's Kobe Smulders, who on How I Met Your Mother. And she's playing a gritty, hard-drinking PI who finds herself in all these sort of situations.
I can see her as that kind of character.
She does it well.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the first episode. Jake Johnson is in there, who he's been in a lot of things, but I remember him. I enjoyed him in Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. He plays old fat Spider-Man.
Oh, right.
Yep, Grizzled Spider-Man. So he's playing the guy that runs the bar and looks after her brother while she's at work, all this sort of stuff.
Mm.
Hour-long drama, that sort of series. Looks pretty cool, and a lot of people enjoy it. I enjoyed the pilot, but we have too much to watch, so
yeah,
I'm not going to be keeping up with it. I am sorry about that, everyone, but deal with it.
Well, look, at least you've given us a taste of what it's like.
That's right. Yeah. Speaking of things I'm not going to go back and watch any more of, I watched Crank Yankers, which is back for some reason. Don't need to watch that again.
Jeez,
prank calls still a thing?
Prank calls have always made me feel awkward, even before I was working in FM Breakfast Radio,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know,
Prank Call HQ.
Look out,
it's time for Stephen the dog in the morning.
I sat in the studio for one, but I refused to speak during it.
Fair.
I just can't.
It's invasive.
I can't take it.
So I thought,
it's so awkward. You
know, I saw some of it back in the day, and some of them were funny, and then a lot of them, I never really got into Crank Yankers. It's come back for some reason. I thought, I'll check it out. I got through an episode. I said, I don't need to watch that again.
Is it just more of the same of the same?
So it was Jimmy Kimmel, Adam Carolla, Bobby Moynihan was in there, I think Natasha Leggero. So they've got some current people in there, but it's just literally calling places and pranking them.
Yeah.
And who doesn't, like, God, Star 69 came in like 25 years ago. How a prank call's still a thing. Anyway, Crank Anchors is there. Robot Chicken is back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to continue watching that.
Awesome.
It's 10-minute episodes. It's silly. We're never going to cover it. Whatever.
Yeah.
The Flash and the Arrow are back, which is great. Arrow was mind-blowing.
Awesome.
Last season saw him the monitor came to him at the very end of the season and said, you have to come with me or the universe is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to die. And he's just accepted that fact. And it looks like he's going to skip through realities, finding bits that they need for the crossover at Christmas.
Wow.
This episode was like, it was all back in season one. Everyone that had died was still alive. People that were alive now were dead because there was no Arrow in that universe.
Oh, wow.
And I think they're going to Christmas Carol for a season.
That'd be all right.
For like 8 episodes as they lead up to this. I think it's going to be a big, this is your life, because then at the end it's going to be, this is your death.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. It was so good.
And it definitely sounds like the kind of season where they are making it for the people who have been watching since the beginning.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which is amazing.
Even over on Flash, which I thought Flash wouldn't start dealing with the crossover for a few episodes. He's already, like, he's had this hologram of a newspaper since the very first episode saying that in 2025 the Flash goes missing and is never found again.
Mm.
And last episode, we don't know if because it's of what Arrow's doing or the crisis is coming, whatever, that date got updated to December 10th, 2019.
Ooh.
So he's got an end date now. And then the monitor appeared to him and says, for the universe to live, Barry Allen must die.
Jeez.
The Flash must die. So he knows this is coming. He's gone to this episode. He flashed forward to the future to go. And he wanted to go to the day after his death to see what happened. And there's crises happening in the Speed Force, so he can't go and see things anymore.
Whoa.
He's locked in on one future, which has never been the Flash's thing.
Wow!
As you say, if you've been here since the beginning, this is such rewarding storytelling.
Yeah.
This is comic books proper.
Yeah.
Searching for felines near Melmac. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
Lynn's
ringing.
That's me. Welcome to episode 101.
How exciting!
Yep.
We haven't quite figured out how we're going to say the episode numbers yet. So it's 101.
How else
101,
did you say it?
101. We've got three options. And then
Hundos.
And then, like, there's other languages, but I don't think we need to get bogged down in that.
101.
You reckon?
Just individual 101. However you like.
I must say that was my first, that was the first way I said it, so maybe that is my default. We'll soon find out when next couple happen. Now, you've seen Hustlers. Both of you watched?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I dragged him to Hustlers like he dragged me to Hobson Shaw.
Okay, that's fair enough.
And he was willing.
Yeah.
I mean, we were expecting a little bit of booty. So, you know, it's not for nothing.
Apparently, J-Lo looks amazing.
Oh, her hair is on point.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So is it big?
I want that hair.
Is it just
so jealous of J-Lo?
Is it slick or?
It's bouffant.
Yeah, that's such a great word, isn't it?
It's like, you know, the sort of Rachel.
Like, it makes her look like a feline. It gave her like a mane, like she was a powerful mother. So this group, lioness.
Oh, okay, I understand. So it's a group of strippers.
Yes.
Okay.
So Constant Wu is the new girl. J-Lo is the been there since the 80s, 90s, something like that.
Probably early 90s around Woman. That's the way love goes, Janet Jackson.
Sure.
She's in the video.
What an era.
Cardi B and Lizzo are there.
They're there. Cardi B is fun. Lizzo plays a flute and then leaves.
Yeah. She has,
Lizzo.
She has pasties on. Is that what they call pasties? Pasties?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Tassels?
I'd had a few.
Yeah,
lines.
Tassels.
I think we've actually said all the words
that could describe coverings of nipples.
Yes, that's right.
So it's the part of the journey of hoping for better women films. We sat through Bad Mums. We sat through Bridesmaids. We sat through Ghostbusters.
Spice World.
Three. Spice World's a different category. This is Hollywood's trying to appeal.
Yeah, yeah.
You can really see what they were going for with the film. It didn't quite come together. I feel like there's parts of the story on the cutting room floor or something like this that just didn't quite gel. There were a few moments where it leaped forward in.
Okay.
Not so much logic, but just.
Yeah. There wasn't really a story there.
Oh, like, really?
The GFC happens and these strippers that have been living well aren't getting as much money in, so they start spiking drinks of people and then taking their credit cards.
Oh, that's naughty.
But that's all. Like,
that's literally
all.
There's
no real interesting story there.
Well, I felt like there was going to be some sort of heist or they get mixed up.
And they don't go on the run, and it's more, it's Julia Stiles is in there. I did hear that. She's a journalist covering the story afterwards.
Yeah.
So it's all told.
She keeps her clothes on, which is disappointing.
Yeah, but it's all told in flashback, and so you know that no one's going to die.
Yeah, right.
But the hair's
good. Even like Constance Wu's hair's good.
She's got good hair.
This is why I needed Linz to review the movie, because I don't give good hair as a reason why.
Cardi B's hair's good. If you like hair.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so out of five Hollywood hairstylists, what would you give it?
For hair, five.
Okay. For storyline?
For enjoyable movie on a Saturday night.
Yep.
It was something to do.
Two and a half?
We could have seen Zombieland 2.
We could have seen Zombieland 2. And Tom's brother went to see that and we were like, well, we're going to go see Hustlers because we're edgy. And it backfired on us because it was a bit of rubbish. So like 2 or 3.
Okay.
But we remain hopeful that they're still, and it's done well, so like.
That's right. It will lead
to
better
pastures. Interest and that we're like. Come on.
Yeah, as an audience.
Show us something not patronising. I think that's what we were expecting with Hustlers. It was something that was not going to be patronising to it the woman's story.
It felt sanitised of what that story could have been. I think that's the issue. It didn't really have the teeth for the topic.
Could there have been a little bit of meddling with, like, studios or something going, can you change this? Can you change? Like, does it feel like the story was grittier?
Oh, maybe.
I think it's part of
maybe
that.
Maybe it's cutting room floor business.
I think it's partly that. And then I think it's also partly you don't hire J-Lo and Constance Wu to be in a movie to take their clothes off. Do you know what I mean? If this is a story about strippers, then they are going to present a sanitized version because they have an image that they keep clean. Do you know what I mean? If Cardi B was the main character, this would have been a very different film because she's prepared to do that stuff.
It would have been so good.
That's what I'm getting at. We followed the wrong characters.
Yeah, Cardi B and Lizzo, put them at the top.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. It could have been a musical.
Sure.
Oh, well, I mean, you got J-Lo. It could have been a musical anyway.
I do my
anyway.
Hair toss, check my nails. Baby, how you doing? Feeling good as hell.
So, five out of five for hairstyles.
Mm-hmm.
2 to 3 out of 5 for actual movie.
But we're hopeful.
Yeah.
You got to see it to, you know, hello, I'm a woman and I would like some good films, please.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to go to Hobbs and Shaw with my boyfriend for the rest of my life. I will. He's staring at me.
Yeah, you're getting a glance.
I can't. You won't need to. You won't need to.
I can't promise I'm not going to be on my phone.
That's what I already expect.
I can literally see you walking out. Like, you're almost out the door right now. You're like, I've said my piece. Tom's giving me the eye.
I've watched something.
Yeah, what did you watch?
Oh, what was it called?
Odd Name.
It was called
Tidy Your Kitchen.
Who Am I? Or something like that.
Right.
It's on Netflix. Tell Me Who I Am. That's what it was called.
Is it a doco or?
It's a documentary. And
is this like about brothers or something?
It is.
I've heard about this. It sounds intriguing.
Is it the three brothers?
No. That's the three identical strangers.
Yeah.
This is two identical brothers. One of them has an accident, a motorbike accident when he's 18. And has his memory wiped.
Wow.
And the
doesn't
only
come back.
Thing he remembers in his life is his twin brother. Doesn't remember his mother, his father, his house, his own name, where he lives.
Wow.
All he remembers is his brother. So that's his one thing that is real. And his brother has to put back his memories and things. So, you know, when you are putting back memories, you can put back the happy ones, aren't you? It's a little bit of, it wasn't all real to him. And it was just a real interesting way you've got these two guys, one with the weight of his history and one who's just had all the happiness put back into him.
Isn't that interesting? So he got a censored memory.
Mm. Yeah, so it sounds like a sort of an island Scarlett Johansson film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So for the first half an hour, I was on my phone on Twitter, and then at the end, I was on the edge of my seat.
Nice. What's it called again?
Tell Me Who I Am.
I might watch that tonight.
It's really good. Gritty. If you liked When They See Us documentary, the Ava
Devani.
Thank you. The Ava Devani documentary, then you'll like this.
Yeah, cool.
So, you know, plays with your emotions. So don't watch it lightly.
Okay.
But
maybe I should have my phone on Candy Crush just in case I need like a quick moment of happiness.
Yeah, good idea.
Cool. Oh, well, thanks for that.
Nice.
I'm going to watch that. Thanks, Linz.
Bye.
Cheers.
The only program dumb enough to cross the streams. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Tom, are you feeling like you want to speak about The Walking Dead or A Good Place first?
Oh, what a choice. Let's get the dead out of the way first.
Yeah.
Actually, that could cover both. Ha! Walking Dead.
Okay, Walking Dead. So a couple of episodes through. We've got to rapid fire these, obviously, because we've got a lot we've missed out on.
That's right. So last week we were finding out all about the Whisperers.
And a bit more about Beta.
Yes.
It definitely, it's 99%. Obvious now that he was a country singer.
Yep. So I think that was a shout out in the fear thing. I think that was some cool linkage up
there.
Very
good.
I don't know if we will see the face until maybe he goes.
And I don't need to now.
No.
Now that
the hint is there.
For me, that was confirmation enough.
And you've got justification now of why he wouldn't show his face.
Absolutely.
That's not who he is.
Absolutely. So last week we got to delve into a little bit more about the Whisperers.
Yes.
And everything's happening around the satellite falling.
Yep.
So that's when the storyline was. Having said that, we did get flashbacks for the Whisperers episode, which I thought was good. And we met Thora Birch.
Yes.
A.K.A. Gamma.
Gamma.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
and the demise of her sister, who was being stupid.
Yeah, just poor decisions left, right and centre.
What are you even doing? And then this week we went to Alexandria.
Yeah, and we got some time with my boy Negan.
Now, I was watching with a friend and she said there are so many other things they could have done to deal with those walkers and they've done them all before in previous seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they herd them away like they've done time and time again?
I don't know. I think what they're trying to position is that they're so terrified to go outside and deal with them because some of them have knives and some of them might be the Whisperers, so they can get attacked out there, so they need to be defensive. I get that thought, but that wasn't spelled out.
Yeah.
Quite clear enough. Yeah. We saw them a few weeks ago with shields. Where'd the shields go? Where'd all that training?
Because Michonne even said, all right, now we've got to go and deal with them. I was like, okay, cool, they're going to go and do that.
I think my favourite moment of the episode was Negan noticing Aaron had put like a mace on the end of his stump and been like, are you going out looking at that? That's badass.
We got a fair bit of old style Negan again, which I thought was really nice.
They did a great job of alluding that he's still potentially in there. I don't think he is. He's come good. There's a potentially very big moment for Negan coming up. I don't know whether I should say.
I'm going to say my prediction.
Okay, go for it.
I haven't read the comics, as you know. I think this is Negan's redemption arc. We've spoken about it before. He has to save them.
Yep.
He has to save the group, the communities. I think he's going to be the one to kill either and or Beta and Alpha, but I'm sure it's a Negan and Beta showdown.
So spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. If you don't want to know, move away. I don't know if the show will adapt this identically. I'd love it if they do, but I could see them giving it to someone else for a big storyline. I won't say who. Negan does run away from the camp, as Aaron suggests at this point. He defects to the Whisperers and he spends some time there trying to basically charm his way into Alpha's pants.
Okay.
And this frustrates Beta to no end, and Beta finally leaves them alone. And Negan cuts Alpha's head off and goes back home with her head in a bag and says, see everyone, I'm on your side, thinking he's done a really good job. And instead he cut the head off the snake and made a mass of snakes.
Ooh, okay.
So it is a big redemption moment.
But it backfires big time.
Essentially, he turns Beta into a rabid animal who will not leave them alone.
He has potential. We also saw Carol over the space of 3 minutes get a drug addiction.
Yeah.
I enjoyed having the unreliable narrator. Yes, I enjoyed not knowing whether what we were seeing was real or not. But she was happy last episode.
Uh-huh.
And now, and I understand they're getting into the PTSD stuff that with Carol and
Sadiq.
Also, this was not my theory.
Mm.
But Sadiq's getting a whole lot of PTSD flashbacks.
Yes.
Did Alpha make him cut the heads off his friends?
Ooh.
That's not mine. That's not my theory, but it was a bloody good one my friend came up
bad.
With. That's not bad. We were trying to watch back to his little flashbacks and I just couldn't figure out what Alpha was saying to him. It was one word. I couldn't get it. So if anybody has, let us know. The Watchers podcast at gmail.com.
Also, shout out to my boy Dante.
Yeah.
I know that first appearance, everyone was like, who's this dickhead? And I was like, hang on there. He's
all right.
Brash,
yeah.
And you saw it there.
Yeah. Dante. When he tied in with the PTSD. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, looks like we'll go to Hilltop next week.
Yep.
And I kind of like that we're doing it that way.
Yeah, jump around.
Yeah. Good place?
Please.
What a lot of fun.
Oh, so last week was chillaxing, right? That was cheaty, relaxing.
Yeah.
That's something
I've
just
come
came
up with.
That.
Just came up with that.
And then, yeah.
And then, bam, is Michael actually Michael?
Mm. Which, who's been saying that for a few weeks?
Mm.
Your boy. I had said either Michael or Janet got
and
swapped on
Janet
that train.
Janet was swapped.
Very good.
So
Glenn getting blown up. You know, and I went back and rewatched the episode again, which I would recommend you do.
Okay.
With, like, if you didn't know, definitely do. If you weren't sure, it's worth doing.
Yep.
Because Janet gives away all the time.
Yeah, right.
Once you know, she blew Glenn up.
Yeah,
that wasn't
true.
An accident.
That's...
She's just gone, oh, he can mess this all up. Here's a good opportunity. Boom.
Yeah. That's
a good
point.
Michael wasn't going to blow up.
I don't think Michael ever thought he was going to.
I think he did.
Yeah?
But he didn't know that was Bad Janet, so he thought it was the device that made it Glenn go pop.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, so good. Brent is amazing.
He's so annoying, but I love every time he's on screen.
It's like you know someone like that.
Nice yeah, one. You do.
Right on, brother.
Every time.
But at least he stopped saying daddy like.
Oh, so good. Yeah, exactly. Jason is gone.
Looking dapper.
Oh, how good did he look? His hair looked amazing.
That's his Bad Place look from season two, I think, when the train went there. Yeah.
Yeah, so he and Michael have gone off to...
And Glenn in a bucket. So Glenn's on their side. I think Glenn's on their side now.
I think he was legitimate when he arrived.
I believe he was. Yeah. If you watched those the miniseries during the break... That sets up that Glenn wants to defect.
I like that we were able to talk about those two in a row.
I know, that was good. It was a little more bundled in there.
It really worked
well. I'm very excited about the fact that we're actually going to the bad, bad place
now. Yeah, the proper place.
Yeah, because when we've gone there before, it's been hide in this museum or you can't see. And Michael's always said that seeing it would destroy your brain. And the one person of their group that hasn't got a whole lot to lose is Jason.
Absolutely.
So here's my question.
Okay.
If Jason's by himself and he shows in the bad place that his brain can handle it, will Michael let him see his real form? Because
I
need to see this 6,000-foot tall squid.
Will we see it or we just see Jason's reaction? And it'll be something like cool.
Oh, that's even better. That teases the audience if we just see like a tentacled leg.
One tentacle just, yeah, in the Jason foreground.
And Jason goes, cool!
It's not a bad impersonation. Oh, this has led me to another theory, and I can totally see them do this.
Mm-hmm.
We know this is the final season.
Yes.
We'll never see The Good Place.
Well, I thought that would be the case, but apparently they're filming in Paris right now.
Paris is pretty good.
I could see
intriguing.
Maybe Chidi and Eleanor sharing some actual Good Place time in Paris.
That'd be really nice. Meeting again.
Yeah.
Again,
anyway, let's see.
For the thousandth time. Let's get into a quiz.
Can we?
This one was thought up, at least the plan of, was thought up by Gary. If you come up with a quiz idea, you can send it into the watcherspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you very much, Gary.
Nice one, Gary.
This one, I think you may need a little bit of help with a couple.
Okay.
Cool. But there is, it's called, I'm just going to get on with it. It's called, which part of Australia was this filmed in?
Oh, all right.
So I've picked TV shows.
Okay.
I'll try and whittle it down. I'm going to say the name of the show and then you've got to pick which city.
Okay.
Or state in Australia.
Now, let's see how I go.
Yeah, no, this is, I think you'll be all right.
All right.
There's enough clues.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You're going to be, don't doubt yourself.
All right.
Do you remember this kids' TV show in the early 90s called Amazing?
Yes.
Which city in Australia do you think that was filmed in?
So it was Amazing. It's a game show.
It's a game show.
So that means automatically take ABC out of the mix.
Yeah, I think it was on Channel 7, if I remember correctly. I must also preface this by saying... Each question has a different city. I've not doubled up.
Okay. So this is ruling things out. Okay, that helps me. Now, if it's a 7, 9 or 10, that generally means it's going to be either Melbourne, Sydney or potentially Brisbane. And our Agro's Cartoon Connection, which was Channel 10?
I think it was 10.
Was filmed in Brisbane.
That was Brisbane for sure.
Channel 9 studios were here in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to... put at that time 7 in Melbourne. I want to say Docklands. No. Is it Sydney?
It's Brisbane.
Oh.
Hey, but here's a really super weird thing.
What's that?
Its final year on air, it was filmed in Perth.
Wow.
What about Secret City? I'm going to give you the synopsis because this will help you. Beneath the placid facade of the name of the city, which I've taken out, amidst the rising tension between China and America, senior political journalist Harriet Dunkley uncovers a secret city of interlocked conspiracies, putting innocent lives in danger, including her own.
Is that Canberra?
It's Canberra. Secret
City. It's a well-designed city, so I could very much see secret tunnels.
Tunnels.
Connecting things. Templar style.
There has to be a whole lot, right? It's pretty flat where they've set it up.
Big up to my boy, Griffin. Lake Burley Griffin.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got it.
What about that planning?
That's very funny. What about mother and son? Ruth Cracknell.
I'm going to say Melbourne.
Not Melbourne.
No, Sydney.
Sydney. Here's a little side note. Right. The house that was used for like the outside shots and filming was demolished in 2016. It was in Rod's Point, right near Five Dock.
Huh. There you go.
And when you see that house, you go, oh, such a classic Sydney house. It really is. What about the Kettering incident? Do you remember that one from a few years ago?
It was a new, media, was it?
It was a murder mystery. But there was weird, strange comings and goings. This wasn't in a proper city. It was in part of this small state.
Hmm.
This may have been one of the only shows I know of that was filmed
it's
down
be
there.
Tasmania, Tasmania, right?
Tasmania, yep. In Kettering, which is a real place.
Huh.
I have a feeling the state government may have given a bit of funding for that one to be filmed. It ended on a cliffhanger too, and it's been I'd say at least 4 years since the last season, and a lot of the actors are now in Hollywood, so I can't see it being made.
Right.
It's such a shame. Mm. What about Wentworth? Classic.
That's in a prison.
Mm-hmm. Which state?
Oh.
I mean, which city? Oh, state or city, doesn't matter.
They're pretty rough.
Mm, they are. It's one that...
I'm going to say...
Yes?
Adelaide.
Not Adelaide.
Darwin?
Nah, it's a big one. They make a lot of stuff down there.
Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I've already said Melbourne a bunch of times. I'm like, I'm not going
to
go Melbourne.
I know. I had to go Melbourne. Okay, this one.
This is tough.
This one's easy. Mm. And also, we haven't said the name of the city yet.
Okay.
This TV show was called The Alice.
Hmm. Is that Alice Springs?
Alice Springs. I have, apart from the fact that it was funny, there was also a lot of shows there. No. The selection of shows that were filmed there,
I didn't know.
And also there were other places in Australia that I looked up and there was either no list for them.
Cooper Pedy has a lot of, that's the opposite.
Yeah, there are shows from Cooper Pedy and I'm sure I've seen shows from Darwin.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah,
you know
those
sort of cop shows where they follow cops around, like almost cops. I couldn't find it, so I gave up and found the Alice. Well done.
Well done. I think I got one right.
Which one was that?
The Alice.
Canberra.
Oh, no, I got Canberra.
You got Canberra.
All right, so two.
You
wow.
got two out of six.
Woo!
Look, it was a fun one. It was different. I enjoyed it. A lot of shows that we would never have mentioned.
No.
But as a kid, you would have watched Amazing.
Yeah, but that's filmed inside a studio. How am I? That doesn't give me any geographical...
That's such a good point. And I would have guessed Melbourne if I was playing.
And that was the one I had the best chance on because I knew where studio locations were. I worked backwards.
Look, you can't win them all.
No.
But maybe next week you will.
No, oh, I'll be ready.
Yeah, you will be ready. Tom, we're finishing this episode now, I've decided, and also because we've run out of things to say. On that note, thank you, Tom.
Look inside of my bag of rocks.
What's that from? You.
Yep. Got a bag of rocks.
It's impressive.
My rock collection.